Amen. It's good to be here this morning. Good to be with you this morning. This morning, I'm going to actually continue in the series we've been talking about in September that we'd used. I didn't start Labor Day, waited until the week after that. So we're going to continue this week. And it is God's Story is for Everyone. And today, we've titled the message, Share from Your Passion. Share from Your Passion. We're going to be looking at a passage of Scripture from Exodus chapter 31. So if you want to find that, Exodus chapter 31. We'll get there. When I gave it, Mickey asked for it. I always try to give it to Mickey the week ahead of time. He'd like to have it earlier than that, but I don't always have it. But I gave it to him, and I said, this is going to be a good one for you because it's a kind of an abstract piece of Scripture that Mickey did a good job. I'll just say that. And look at this. See what I'm doing? I'm taking this jacket off. I'm excited about today, and I don't know why I got a little excitement. It's not about what I'm going to be doing. It is different. This message is going to be different today. I will tell you that and share that with you. You'll see as we go along. But it's about sharing from your passion. And in the year 2000, I read a book. I think the title of it was Calling. That was it, just one word, Calling. And out of that book, I've got this question. I've used it over since then in conversations counseling with people, coaching people, just in casual conversations at a restaurant or in somebody's home. I've wrote it in and put it in one of my books that I've written where I go in and work with churches. And here's the question. Now, I want you to contemplate this in your own life. If all obstacles and all barriers were removed, what is the one thing that you would be doing for God? In other words, if there's no age restrict, no age barriers, no physical barriers, you got the health that you need to do this, you've got no financial barriers, no geographical barriers, every barrier, every obstacle is removed, what is the one thing that you would be doing for God? Think on that for just a couple seconds there. What is that one thing that you would be doing for God if there were no obstacles in your way, nothing to stop you from doing it? I usually ask, and I usually go around the room and ask. Of course, I'm not in this bigger group, so I won't do that to you today. But I want you to think about that. What is that one thing that you'd be doing for God? And what I did after a couple of years asking that question to people over conversations, I started asking a second question. Why aren't you doing it? Because if God is as big as we say He is, can He not remove every obstacle? So why aren't you doing that one thing? Now, some of you may have, your idea may have been, I would love to work with AIDS patients in Africa. But you've got a family or whatever here and you can't go now. But what can you do that God can move you and lead you to grow in that area so that you'll be able to do that? You see, God gives us passions, those things that we'd like to do. This is what I'd be doing for God. Whatever that passion is, God has given that to you so that you can use it for Him. And we all have passions. In that one thing that you just thought about, you'll find a passion. You'll find a passion about in that one thing, whatever that one thing was that you just said you would be doing for God. Here's what I want you to do. We all have passions. We all have a passion. We have more than one passion. But I want you to focus in on one passion this morning, one thing that you're passionate about, one thing that you just love to do, you enjoy doing it, and you really get satisfaction out of doing that one thing. What is that? Some of you may be cooking, it may be quilting, some of you may be eating, I don't know. But whatever that passion is, what is that one thing that you really enjoy doing that you do? And I want to ask you to write it down. Now I know there's very few people in here that less than a third of you that take notes on Sunday morning. But I want to ask everybody in here to write something down. If you got a bulletin, write it on the bulletin. If you don't, and here's something I really don't like to do and like to tell you, but I want you to write. I want everybody to write it down, even if you have to take one of those envelopes out of the pew in front of you. Write it down. Now, I know that some of you are that kind of person, and men, this is going to apply to a lot of you men. I'm too macho. I'm not writing anything down. You just talk to me, but I'm not writing it down. But I want you to write down what your passion is. I want you to write down one passion. If you got a phone, just text it, write it in a note, something on your phone. But I want you to write down that passion because we're going to come back to it in just a few minutes. You see, at the time of our salvation, we've been taught, we understand that God gives us each one spiritual gifts. And we all have different spiritual gifts. But He gives us spiritual gifts. And then He brings us together with complementary gifts. We don't all have the same gift because God wants us to come together to work together to fulfill His great commission. And so I also believe that at that very instant, that same time, that very moment that God gives us spiritual gifts, he also gives us a passion. And it's a passion to serve him. It's a passion to follow him and do things for him, to do certain things for him. And a lot of times it includes our gifts. It includes what we're good at, what we enjoy doing. Spiritual gifts, by the way, are given to you for one reason and one reason only. Your spiritual gifts, and you all have, if you're a born-again believer, you've got them. I've heard people say, oh, I don't have any spiritual gifts. Yes, you do. But you've only got those gifts for one reason and one reason only. The only reason that God has given you a spiritual gift is to build up the body of Christ, to build up the other. It's not for you. It's not for bragging rights. It's not to show how good you are at a certain thing. It is only to build up other people in Christ, to build up other Christians, other believers. And so I want us to read in our scripture, in our text this morning from Exodus chapter 31, about two men that God set aside for a particular work, and we're going to look at that and look at passion here as well. Stand with me if you will. I don't always ask you to do that, but I will for this one, the reading of Exodus chapter 31, where it says, beginning with verse 1, the Lord said to Moses, see, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with ability and intelligence, with knowledge and all craftsmanship, to devise artistic designs, to work in gold, silver, and bronze, in cutting stones for settings, and in carving wood, to work in every craft. And behold, I have appointed with him Oholiab, the son of Ahishmach, of the tribe of Dan. And I have given to all able men ability, that they may make all that I have commanded you, the tent of meeting and the ark of the testimony and the mercy seat that is on it and all the furnishings of the tent. Father God, we thank you for this, your word, and the fact that it shares that with all men, you've given us all ability, special ability to do whatever it is that you've commanded us and that you desire us to do. Now take this and help us to understand what that means in our own personal lives today, Lord, as your Holy Spirit speaks to us through this, your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, church. You may be seated. These two men, Bezalel and Oholiab, were appointed by God. They were gifted with special ability to build the tabernacle, the traveling tent, church of God, you might call it, before they settled while they were wandering in the wood or in the wilderness for 40 years. These two men were artisans. They were art crafty art people. And God told Moses of Bezalel, he said, I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with ability to and in intelligence, with knowledge and all craftsmanship to devise artistic designs, to work in gold and silver and bronze, for in cutting stones for setting, and in carving wood to work in every craft. Now that man had a lot of gifting abilities, but we all have these. And have you ever considered what you truly enjoy doing, your passion, and using it to share God's wonderful story? Have you ever done that? If you're a born-again believer, you can do that very thing, and God has appointed you to do that very thing. He's given you passions to do that very thing, to share your passions, share his story by using your passions. Now, I have over the years, and I always script my messages out, and so today I don't need to use it, because over the years, I've been asked to share something unrelated to church at vacation Bible schools, at children's homes, at camps, youth camps and children's camps and special camps, and even high school football teams and other church sporting events, halftime devotionals, and just church picnics and other things. And so I normally do this outside, but I decided I'm going to do it in here today, okay? And we'll try not to have anybody get hurt while we're doing it, but I shared some of this with our Bible study leaders back in our afternoon meeting on August the 14th, that in 1978, 1979, I was on the professional Frisbee tour, okay? You didn't know that you had a professional athlete in front of you. Now, why do you laugh? It is true, there is a professional Frisbee tour, and back in 1978 and 79, I was on it. And we traveled to, just like the golf tour or the tennis tour that you watch on TV, we traveled to a different city every week. Now, I held down a full-time job, so back then I called myself a semi-professional because I did it on the weekends. But I'm like any high school athlete. The farther I get away from those years, the better I was. But it's true, and if you don't believe me, Candy, I think we've got a picture just to show from 1978. That's me, believe it or not, even with hair. I had another picture that showed the reverse angle. There's about 2,000 or 3,000 people there that day. That was in Louisville there, one of the first tournaments I was in. The world championships every year back then were held in the Rose Bowl in Pasadena, California. And so it was a pretty big thing. Like I said, some of those tournaments were worth $50,000 in 1978, 1979. That's huge. I never won any of that money. That's why I'm in the ministry today. But I did, I enjoyed it, and it's a passion of mine. And since then, God has shown me how to share his story by using one of my passions, the Frisbee, and what's called freestyle Frisbee. And so this is one. Normally, I don't even tell you what it was. I've just pulled this out, and people say, oh, they know what it is because you've seen it before, right? And this is actually one that I used in 1979, so this thing is over 40 years old. But I've been using it since then. Since I come off the tour, I use it in demonstrations, like I was talking about, vacation Bible schools and things like that, but also in a lot of conferences as I do that. And we had a saying back then when it was on tour that if a ball could dream, it would dream that it were a Frisbee. Why would I say that? But we always say if a ball could dream it were a Frisbee. Well, the reason we say that is let's take a look at the difference between a ball and a Frisbee. Now, the world would tell you, use a ball. Pick up a ball. Play ball. Why? Because it tells you that's where you have fun. You can do more with a ball. But I'm here to tell you, you can't. And I'll prove it to you. Now, normally, I would demonstrate some of this to you, but I can't do that because I don't want to get anybody hurt today. I started to tell Frank I'm going to throw a Frisbee to him here, but all these people would just get scared to death if I did that. So I do it. But what can you do with a ball? You can throw a ball, right? You can catch a ball. Some balls you can kick, but some of them you can't. Some of them you can hit with a club or a bat. Others you cannot hit with a club or a bat. Try to hit a football with a bat and see what happens to that. So some you can, some you can't. So, but you can. But let's talk about throwing a ball. How many ways can you throw a ball? One, two. Some great pitchers, some of the great pitchers, baseball pitchers, can learn to throw a ball five different ways. But there's very, very few of them that can. Most of them are about four, three to four. And so you can do that, to throw a ball. Would you believe me if I told you, when I was on tour, and I say that because I can't do everything now that I could do back then. I was a little younger then, and a little more spry, a little more, I could do a lot more. But when I was on tour, I could throw the Frisbee no less than 11 different ways. I'm talking about different ways. I mean, most of you know the backhand, what's called the backhand. That's where you throw it this way. You ready? Here, catch this way. You got to unfold your arm before you catch anything. That's the backhand, okay? That's the one what most of us learn. And it's not this. That's why most people try to do it. They don't realize they're doing that, but they're doing it. But you come across like that. I'm going to give you a tutorial today, too. And then also, there's the sidearm. That's one of the second sides you learn, and that's to come from down here. You're holding it totally different. The backhand's this way, you're coming around this way. You either. I've got pictures of guys that threw this thing so hard that when they're coming right here, I took a picture, and the Frisbee is bent like that. And all they're doing, they got two fingers under it, but they're throwing it with so much power that it bends the Frisbee. So that's the sidearm. These are just side notes that I gave you, too, as I go along here. There's an overhand wrist flip where you can do this and throw it. There's the upside down. There's two different ways to throw a Frisbee upside down. One won't go very far. Another one will, and to do it. And you learn to do all these different throws. There's trick throws. There's a lot of different things. There's a one that you do just like this. And, I mean, it'll hurt somebody. In fact, I was in 1978, I guess, or maybe in 79, I worked a full-time job, like I said, and I would go out, and I worked in a warehouse, and I would go out and at lunchtime, and I'd still have my boots on, or work boots on, steel-toed boots on, and I'd go out, and I would practice for the weekend, and so I had people, you know, guys watching me, and I'd practice in my boots, but I'd go home, I couldn't throw, so I would go home, I'd go to my parents' home, and I would throw the Frisbee over there so I could practice my throws, and there's things called blind throws. And that's where you don't see where the Frisbee's going. You just hope it's going where you want it to go. But you practice long enough, you get it to go there. And I was practicing some blind throws, and one of them is like this, where you throw it over your shoulder, and you don't see where it's going, but you're throwing it to a partner, normally, who's back there. And so practicing by myself, I was doing it. I didn't realize that my younger brother had come out of the house. I knew he came out of the house, but I didn't realize he stopped about 5 or 8 yards behind me. And so I came over the shoulder and did that, and I heard it. Thump. I knocked him off his feet. He's about 14, 15 years old, so a frisbee can be a lethal weapon too. And so you can do a lot with it. There's a lot you can do with throwing a frisbee. You can get there. But what about catching a frisbee? Well, catching a ball, you might get fancy. You might be able to catch one between your legs or something like that. But with a frisbee, there's more ways to catch a frisbee than there is to throw a frisbee. And I just told you I can throw, well, I used to be able to throw 11. I can throw at least 7 of them still today. And so you can catch, and there's a lot of different ways to catch it. And, of course, you catch it up front. You catch it just with your hand up or your hand down. You can catch it, wedged or with a sandwich. You can catch it all kinds of ways that you can catch a frisbee. There's a thing called a trailing catch. You wait till the frisbee gets past you. This works good in tournaments. As the frisbee gets past you, then you reach up and grab it here or wherever there. And you do that. And so you're really interested in this, aren't you? You really are loving this, aren't you? Okay, when's this guy going to get back to the Bible? There's a lot of different ways that you can catch a frisbee. And there's a lot of ways you can pick up a frisbee. That's another way that I won't get to share today for time's sake. But you can do a lot. And my point is you can do a lot more with a frisbee than you can with a ball, even though the world would tell you pick up the ball. The ball is the way to go. The ball is the way to do it. The ball is the one is where you're going to learn, where you can do more. You can have more fun. That's what the world would tell you. But I guarantee you, you can do a whole lot more with a frisbee and you can have a whole lot more fun with a frisbee. If you're out there by yourself and you're throwing a ball, what do? That's it. You just throw it straight up and come back right down to you, right? With a frisbee, you can do a lot more. Now, you could throw the ball out there and then run and chase it, pick it up, throw it somewhere else, run and chase it, pick it up. But you can do a whole lot more with a frisbee. You can even throw a frisbee so it comes back to you. You throw a ball, you got to throw it straight. You can throw a frisbee. You can make all kind of arcs and curves and stuff like that. We've done it. We do it on tournaments and in tours. And so there's a lot more you can do. See, the world would tell you, use the ball, pick up the ball. The ball is where you're going to have fun. The ball is going to bring you enjoyment. But I can show you with a frisbee, you can have a whole lot more. Folks, life is the same way. Because the world would tell you, do these things. This is where the fun's at. Do these things. Do what the world tells you to do. But I'm telling you, what the world tells you to do pales in comparison to what God offers. And we need to look at what God offers. Like the frisbee over the ball, God offers a whole lot more that you can do. And you have more joy and more enjoyment from doing what God offers than what the world offers. Now, that's where I turn the frisbee, and when I'm doing those exhibitions for different groups, that's where I turn it to the gospel conversation. I get them interested in watching what I'm doing, in my passion, and the things that I can do with the frisbee. And then I can turn it to a gospel conversation. You see, the world can tell you that you have more fun with the ball, but to enjoy the ball, but the truth is there's much more that you can do with a frisbee, and life is the same. And so there's where I turn it to a gospel conversation. That's using one of my passions. Now, that's just one. God's shown me 3 different ways that I've used this in the past. And I shared this with the Alabama State Board of Missions at a chapel service not long ago, too. But there's one area that I am going to show you that some of the leaders, those were at that meeting in August, saw it. Another side of the frisbee. And what I excelled in, you might say, was what's called freestyle frisbee. Now, that's basically what that means is doing tricks with the frisbee, being able to do tricks with the frisbee. And so that's where I excelled in the tournaments. And actually, on tournament, I'll just tell you, the highest I ever finished was 4th, and that was in the Alabama State Tournament, which was a national qualifier to go to the top 2 or 3 places got to go to the World Championships, and I finished 4th, so I didn't get there. But that's okay, because I definitely wasn't good enough to go to the World Championships with what those guys were doing with the frisbee. But you learn to do tricks, and one of the first basic maneuvers is a thing called the nail delay. Now, your Christian walk is much like a nail delay, isn't it? Those of you who were in that service, you might smile, that was in that meeting, you might smile because you saw that, you know what that means. But the rest of you will. What a nail delay is it's delaying the flight of the frisbee. Now, if a frisbee is spinning, it should be flying. Would you agree with me? Do this. Because that's just aerodynamics, that's physics. If it's spinning, it should be flying. And so if I can delay that flight by holding it on my nail, That's called a nail delay, and I've delayed the flight of the Frisbee. So I'm going to move over here because I really don't want to hurt my wife. One of you guys down here, I don't care if it, no, I'm not saying that.
You're coming to me. Okay, that's going to work.
I've never had anyone sent to the hospital sitting in front of me watching me do this, okay? So don't, you're not in that kind of danger, so at least not yet. So no, I'm kidding. This is called a nail delay. And I'm delaying the flight of the Frisbee just by keeping it on the end of my finger. Now, I cannot spin a ball on my hand or my finger, but I can this. Now, probably can't do it as long as I could back then, but I can do it for about 30 or 35 seconds maybe today. And eventually it'll run out of revolutions and slow down. But that's called a nail delay because I'm delaying the flight of the Frisbee as I do that. Now, that's a basic maneuver that you learn. It takes about a month to learn how to do that. You do that standing over your bed because you don't want to have to bend over to the floor and pick it up, because when you first do it, you do it and it's gone. And you do it and it's gone. It drops that quick. So it takes you 100 times a day, about a month. If you try that, you can do this. You can learn to do that. Don't try to do this tomorrow at work or show and say, hey, look what I learned yesterday. It won't work. Okay. But once you learn to do that, then you learn to do a lot of other tricks with it. Now, this one may come your way, but not hard if it does. This is probably about the only thing I can still do, if I can do it, that I can still do. I can't even get it to me now. There we go. That I can still do with the Frisbee. But you learn to do a lot of different things. And one of those things is you learn to drop it. You learn to catch it that way. As your partner's throwing it to you, you catch it up here. And then you learn to do a trick with it, whether it's catch it behind your back or behind your ankles or something like that. Or you drop it. One of the things that I did that won me favor in the Alabama State Tournament is I drop it while it was spinning, tap it with my left foot, tap it with my right foot, tap it with my left foot, tap it with my right foot, let it come back up and it's still spinning and I catch it here. And then I do a trick catch with it. And so that's called a nail delay. You do that and you learn to do different things with it. And that's how you progress. And you just get better by practicing those things. Now, what I said was, your Christian walk is much like a nail delay, isn't it? That was the question I asked. Now, here's what I want. I want you to watch. I'm going to do it one more time. I'm going to spin it. I'm going to do it. Just so this is going to be on my finger. I want you to watch the Frisbee. Don't watch me. Don't watch my face. I'm going to turn my head. All I'm going to do is turn my head. Everything else is going to stay the same. See, what happens is the reason it stays spinning up here like this, whoop, bring it back here. Let's get it back around here. There we go. Come here. Quit being stubborn. Is I'm watching the center of the Frisbee. Now, this one, I can actually see through it. I've got another one underneath the podium there that's solid white. But as long as I keep my eye on the center of the Frisbee, that thing will stay there. As soon as I look up, look away, it falls off. So I'm going to do it one more time. You keep watching the Frisbee because it'll stay right there as long as I look. But as soon as I turn my head, you watch what happens to the Frisbee. There it is. Now watch what happened. Watch the Frisbee. Don't watch my head. I'm just turning my head. I knew what was going to happen so I could catch it and stop it. Your Christian walk is much like a nail delay, isn't it? How is it like a nail delay? You got to keep your eyes on Jesus. You see, as the minute I took my eye off the center of that Frisbee, it took off the other direction. It won't stay there. But as long as I keep my eye focused there, it will. You remember a story in the Bible like that? One night the disciples were in a boat and a storm came up and they were terrified. And then they saw Jesus coming to them on top of the water, walking on the water, doing something no man has ever done before. And they were scared. It says they were terrified. They thought it was a ghost or a demon. And then Jesus, or Peter said, if it's truly you, Christ, tell me to come to you. And Jesus said, come. One simple word, come. And Peter stepped over the edge of the boat. And he walked on water. He did something no man has ever done before or since. And we don't know what he took, 7 or 8 steps. We don't know what he took. But as long as he kept his eyes focused on Jesus, he was able to walk on top of the water. But as soon as he took his eyes off, what happened? When he looked around to see, oh my goodness, when he realized reality is, I'm in the middle of this terrible storm, what happened? He began to sink. See, that Frisbee, when I took my eyes off the center of it, the Frisbee fell away. Same thing happened when Peter took his eyes off Jesus. Same thing happens when you and I take our eyes off Jesus. We must keep our focus. What a great demonstration that was for Peter, of Peter, for us to understand why it's important for us to keep our eyes focused on Christ at all times and everything that we're doing. You've just seen two ways then I've learned to use one of my passions to share. There's a third one that I use the Frisbee for in some of those exhibition things. Then I can use the Frisbee for to help people to understand why it's important. That one is when everything else seems impossible, God makes it possible. Nothing is impossible with God. And so we can do that. We can learn to do those things. We can learn to use that. That's my passion. I don't expect you to learn how to fly the Frisbee or throw the Frisbee or spin the Frisbee on your finger so that you can go out and show somebody and share somebody Jesus Christ. You've got something in your life, that passion that you wrote down a while ago. You've got something you can do, and you can use that passion to share Jesus Christ. God showed me how to do that probably 30 years ago, and I've been doing that ever since. Not a lot, but I'm doing it several times over the years for different events and different groups. And we need to learn to do that. Folks, here again, let me go back and say, reiterate something here. Just as we might believe that playing with a ball has more to offer than a Frisbee, we often think that the world has more to offer than Jesus Christ. We do. Even us as Christians, even as churchgoers, even as believers, we oftentimes fall to that thing that we believe the world has more to offer than Jesus. Yet as we've seen with the ball and the Frisbee, the world has little to offer compared to Jesus. And we know that. But every time you and I allow something to take place of coming to church, of reading our Bible, we allow something to take the place of us serving God and serving others. Every time we do that, we're listening to the world telling us that what the world has to offer is better than what God has to offer. And we all fall to those things at time to time. We must be on guard against that. Like the ball to the Frisbee. What the world offers pales in comparison to what God has to offer. You have a passion, and God can use that passion. God wants to use that passion. Now, I want to share another one with you. This one won't take nearly as long. This is real quick, but I just want to share with you. Back in the spring, Jonathan asked me if I would share with the fourth and fifth graders at Vacation Bible School, just share the gospel. And I thought about using the Frisbee because I've done that so many times before. But then I thought of something else, a more recent passion, something I've just taken on right before COVID started. So through COVID, I was able to work with it and do some of it. And so this is what I did. I brought in, just show that first picture. I brought this in to show the kids. A few of the adults saw this too. But then I just asked them, I said, what do you see? And of course, I held it up in front of them. They said, it's an old saw. I said, what is it? I said, what do you see? And I said, it's a rusty. It's no good anymore. And so that was the question is I asked them, do you think that it's useful anymore? And of course, most of them said no. And I said, you're right, it's not like it is like that. I said, but in the hands of the right person, somebody can take something like this and they can turn it into this next one. Amen. Something like that. And then I turned that to the gospel. And I said, your life is just like that. God can take your life. God can take what looks rusty and worn out and no good and not useful, and He can take any life and turn it around to something beautiful that only God can do. Now, yesterday, those are mine. I have painted those. Some of you know that. I paint some saws and stuff. And this past week, yesterday and Friday night, Pam and I set up at the Sorghum Festival in Springfield, first time we've ever done anything like that. And we sold a few saws. I just would tell people, I've painted so many that we had to get rid of some of them. Pam didn't want me to do any of them. And she might have been talking people out of selling them. I don't know, because she wanted to put them all up in the house. But the more important thing to me was we gave away over 50 copies of God Provides. We had gospel conversations and just godly conversations with people. And just even when people say something about the saws, and we had, you can look at them, those of you who haven't seen them on Facebook, there's quite a few of them. There's, I don't know, 50 or 60 saws and or saw blades. I always say the same thing because I believe it. I'm not an artist. I'm just releasing some of God's creativity. From that one statement, I can turn to a gospel conversation. And folks, you have a passion. Yours may not be Frisbee. Probably it isn't Frisbee. It may or may not be painting, but you have a passion. Now, I love to hunt. Many of you know that. I love to hunt. and be out in the woods. And I don't have to be hunting. I just love to be out in the woods. This summer, I spent time out there just building another shooting house. I just love it. And I've, in one of the stories in God Provides, the last story talks about my love for the outdoors. And that you might find me anytime during the year, not just during a hunting season. I might be climbed up in a tree, sitting in a tree anytime during the year. I might even be up there in the summer just singing some of the songs that we sang a while ago to God. Do you think I could talk hunting and turn that to a gospel conversation? Absolutely. I love doing that. Fishing. Cooking. I love cooking outdoors. Some of you know that. I love cooking outside. I have different ways that I cook outside. I can use any of those and turn them. God has shown me how you can, anything that God has given you as a passion, you can use that and turn it to a gospel conversation, to use that to help people to understand who Christ is and why he has left you here and why he's given you the talents and the gifts that he's given you. And so here's what I want you to take away with you today. I don't want you to go out of here trying to talk about souls or talk about frisbees or anything. I want you to dig deep and look at that word or that whatever you wrote down a while ago. Look at that passion and think about other passions you have. And I want you to find a way and ask God, pray this week, ask God, show me how I can use this. We had several people from our praise band a few weeks ago went over here to the farmer's market and set up, and they played for other people outside here. Many of you cook and you take meals to other people. Those are good. What I want you to do is to learn to not just do that. If you cook, it's not about taking a meal to somebody. That's a great thing to do. But what I'm talking about sharing your passion with others is invite somebody into your kitchen and cook with them. And while you're cooking with them, you talk to them about that. You know the ingredients of this recipe, if you try to eat any of these separately or eat them all one at a time, it would be pretty nasty tasting. But once you put them all together, and that's what God can do too, all the ingredients of your life, God puts them together, and he bakes a wonderful tasting cake called life. You've got passions that God has given you, and I want you to learn to share your passion. That's how you reach people for Christ. You share your passion, what God has given you, and you don't just, I prepare a meal and take it to them. Okay, that's it. I did my thing. And a lot of times we like to do that, and those are great things, and we need to do that. We need to continue doing that, but learn how to invest in others using your passion. Learn how to share your passion in such a way that you can relate the story of Jesus Christ. I guarantee you, whatever your passion is, God will give you a way to help you to understand how to share that with other people so they understand who God is and what God wants in their life. You may not win them all to Christ, but you're still planting those seeds, and you're doing it in a way that they remember. Because they will always remember something like this. They may not always remember you just tell them the scripture by itself, but you help them connect that to something they already know. That's what connects things into long-term memory. Folks, you have a passion. God wants you to use that passion to share his story. How will you do that this week? That's your question. That's your challenge this week. Go home, pray about it. God, I wrote this down. Whether it's this passion or something else, show me this week how I can use my passion and start developing my passion to share with other people. Let's stand. We're going to enter into our time of response. This is how do you respond to God and what he's been talking to you about today. And I don't know how he's been talking to you, what he's been speaking about, but you know what God wants from you. You know what you may be like. You know, maybe you've seen something, heard something. You know what? I've never thought about it, but I could use whatever that is, if it's cooking, if it's sewing, if it's reading, whatever it is, you have a passion that God can use to help someone else. And yours may be, you may think, well, this is so off the wall, there's no way I could do that. It may be raising cattle or horses. You can use it. God can use it. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you at this moment, this time, and again, thanking you for what you've done in our hearts this morning. And in our minds, and that you've embedded in our minds, Lord, that we have something. And each person here, I believe today, has thought about something that you've given them, you've gifted them a passion for. It might be going to sports, to ball games, but there's something you can do to share that with others, to help others to know Christ. Father, too often we in the church hide Christ. You've given us so many ways to share Christ. And we've looked at just a few over the last few weeks, but just this one today, there's so many passions right here in this church that you've given each one of us. that we could use for you? That you've gifted these to us. Help us today to commit to you to share Jesus Christ through our passion. Passion may just be helping others. Then show us how we can help others and at the same time share Christ and share your love. Share what people, share with people what you want to do in their lives and for them. Father, I pray that if there's someone here today who does not know Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior, that they've never made that commitment to you, that they would come forward this morning and talk to me or to Johnny. That they would not be afraid to step out, to come forward to say, I don't understand all this, but what's my first step? Father, there are others here that may say, you know what? I've slacked off. I've not been doing everything that I could be doing for God. This morning, the Holy Spirit shared with me, as you were speaking, the Holy Spirit shared with me something that I can do. And I want to commit to it. They don't have to make it public, but just come and pray here. Just come and share with one of us or just whatever, Lord. I just pray that all over this room that people would realize why you've given them the passion that you've given them, why you've allowed them to enjoy the things they enjoy, and you've given it to them not for their own pleasure. They do get joy out of it. We do get joy out of those. But you've given it to us to share your story. Help us to share your story through the passionate gifts that you've given us. Whatever it is that we need to pray for, let's come forward and pray. Whatever it is that Lord, that we need to step out of that pew and just say, here's my personal commitment. God, I don't have to tell anybody else. I'm just going front and pray. It's about me and God. Whatever it is, Lord, I know every person here, even if they're in the balcony, that you've got something on their heart that you want them to use, a passion that you've given, someone they know they can share the story with and using their passions, and maybe become a whole new ministry for them. God, use us. Start a revival. Start a revitalization. Start a renewal, an awakening right here through the passions that you have bestowed on each person here in this room and those that are listening and watching online. Thank you for who you are and for what you're doing in our lives and what you're about to do because of the commitments we will make to you this morning. No matter our age, you've given us a passion. Help us to use that for you and sharing your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. You step out. You do whatever it is God's leading you to do right now.